brought to you by Penguin.
How to Prevent Dementia, An Expert's Guide to Long-Term Brain Health, by Richard Restack. Read by Jason Culp.
Chapter 1. Introduction to Dementia. Several core beliefs underlie the structure of this book. First, the more you know about Alzheimer's disease and the other dementias, the more tools you will have at your disposal to prevent its onset in yourself and be of assistance to others who are less fortunate. If an illness isn't understood, it's only too easy to become anxious when encountering or even hearing about it. I'm not suggesting you have to achieve a neuropsychiatrist's level of understanding of the dementias, but I'm convinced that the more you know about them, the better. The second belief emphasizes the importance of considering the thinking disturbances associated with the dementias. This is important when it comes to how we think about the origin and treatment of the disease. It's commonly believed that Alzheimer's primarily affects memory, and in most cases that's correct. But Alzheimer's can also begin with speech problems, both understanding what other people say and speaking in a manner that others can understand. Alzheimer's and the other dementias may involve disorders of emotions and behavior, unreasonable anxieties and depressions, reclusiveness, hoarding, impatience, sudden flares of temper, delusions, and hallucinations. But even these extreme behaviors are the expressions of disorders of thought. The final belief concerns the existence of a continuum from normal thought to dementia. When speaking or writing about thought, psychologists employ the term cognition, which includes orientation, attention, language, abstraction, memory, naming, and visualization. If we consider Alzheimer's and other dementias as thinking disorders, we find that the illnesses are not mysterious maladies unrelated to ordinary life. On occasion, we all experience disorders in our thinking. We find it difficult to concentrate, to visualize, to come up with names. We get lost in neighborhoods we are not familiar with. On occasion, we can become mildly suspicious of other people's motives and rarely see movements or figures appearing fleetingly in our peripheral vision when we know there is nothing there. By considering Alzheimer's and the other dementias as existing on a continuum extending from normal thinking to severe mental impairment, the illness becomes easier to understand and less anxiety-provoking. Am I coming down with the big A? Despite the fact that dementia was first recognized as a brain disease by Alzheimer almost a century and a quarter ago, we really cannot answer the basic question, what is the cause of Alzheimer's? Although this seems like a purely scientific question, it isn't. As I will discuss in specific sections of this book, progress, understanding, and treatment for the illness is also impeded by social, cultural, economic, and statistical issues. A bird's eye view. Before we get to ways of preventing or diminishing dementia, let's first define it and distinguish it from Alzheimer's. The two terms are commonly confused. Think of dementia as an umbrella term that contains many different diseases, just as the term animal refers to a myriad number of creatures. All cats and dogs are animals, but not all animals are cats or dogs. Dementia represents a decline in mental function that can result from several causes, some curable, some not. At the moment, Alzheimer's is the most commonly encountered incurable form of dementia. While I personally believe a remedy will be developed in the next 5 to 10 years, what can we do in the meantime? That is the topic of this book. Let's start with a bird's eye view of Alzheimer land. Here are the naked statistics about its prevalence and the risk of coming down with it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?